Blog Talk Radio.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right.
Hey, yo. You ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Talking about last. Fred, do you know the dollar amount that they spent
on Deflategate as of right now because it's still in court. Or can you give me a couple guesses how much you think they spent on it?
I've seen it. Almost like $20 million.
$20 million. And it's, right now, which is all about is who got the bigger balls right now.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
You know, and at the end of the day, it just don't make no sense because they need to just let it go.
You would think, and this is the reason why embracing stands for. And what they need to do now is let these players know and also teach these college players that are coming into the NFL. Save your money because you see what they're doing to Tom Brady now. We can't let that happen to any one of you guys. We have to strip him of this power. And you guys, you know, and you got to make him, you got to hit him. You think you guys are making him real money? Look at their money and what they're making off of you. You know, look at the difference between the two. And what you got to do is sometimes some of y'all got to take that and say, no, they're okay. The owners were okay. They just know that, oh, some of y'all going to be in the club. Y'all going to be, buying this house. You're buying your mother a house. You're buying your sister a house. You buy everybody a house. You know what you need to tell everybody? Leave me alone. I got to maintain this money because if we go to lockout, I can be good so we can get a winning side, so we can actually win. And now you look at the lockout now, and the players lost. They lost big time. They didn't win. First, they didn't win nothing.
You know what they always say? It's cool, and we look at the people and they're millionaires, yeah. But it's a total different class when you mess with billionaires. That's why the collective bargain agreement gets handled quick, fast. Because it's not like the Tom Brady's or the guys that hold on to their money or get a big bulk of money. It's for the guys that only have a couple of mil.
Exactly.
They're trying to end that fast.
Yeah. And that's the players that need to and that's the players that they need to go to. The players that's on the minimum. Players those because those are players that are looking at the Tom Brady's and the Darrell Revis's and the Aaron Rodgers of the world saying, yo, y'all gotta end this spot. I can't do this much longer because I'm struggling. And those are the players that are, hurting it because they don't have the money. And that's what sucks. It's because I look at this now and it's like, you wonder why, they don't have guaranteed contracts. I'm pretty sure there's a way. If they told them we ain't playing, the NFL, their revenue rises every year, Chris. They're going to cave.
Right.
They will cave if the players can hold a standpoint because once it gets torn at, that midpoint of the season, players, owners is going to look at it and say, oh, wait a minute. We got to do something.
Exactly.
We got to make something work. And maybe they'll give in to the players. But the players got to make them cave. They got to do something. They got to be serious. And it goes down from the leadership all the way down to running the players association all the way down to the players. And right now, I'll be looking at the players now. And like, see what they're doing to Tom Brady? It can be done to any one of you guys. We can't let a commissioner be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Like, we can't let this. We just can't let. It doesn't make any sense. So basically, Chris, it's just in the world of I said you did it, you say you did it, but I said you did, so you did do it, and I believe that you did. I'm going to make up evidence. Or I'm going to, tailor evidence to say that you did it.
Period.
Even if it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to still prove you guilty. And even if you say, I don't care what you say. I believe it. That's basically how the NFL is run like that.
Yep. And at the end of the day, period. It's just, it's a big testosterone party going on,
Yeah,
it's
that's
like who,
all it is.
Who I feel got the bigger balls. And,
yeah.
And the one on one side, and Brady's like, Prove it. You say I did it, prove it.
Yeah, and they won't. No, they just like you said, for the big testosterone party, they're gonna sit there. They're gonna go bicker. They're both gonna go back and forth. And my whole problem with the NFL though is that y'all can take that L. I mean, you could take that L, but you're talking about a player. You're talking about his image. You're talking about his legacy and all of that. The NFL, you're gonna still move on whether he plays or not. You've seen this year. You guys were thriving whether he played or not. I don't get the point of, you know, suspending him or just, like, ridiculing him in the media. I don't get the end game far as him for the NFL's sake. NFL still be good. The NFL's going to be good no matter what, Chris. They're good.
Right.
But you look at it, like, somebody put a stat out there, Chris. They spent $25 million, Chris. $25 million over the last 5 years on domestic violence. As far as, like, awareness, as far as in that.
Now, where did that money actually go to? Like, tell me some females that it went to and what did they help do? Or did they just put it in campaigns and people that have been supporting, you know, domestic abuse for all these years?
That's who.
You know?
Yeah.
And you just basically sold into them and made them wealthier to get them off your back. But how many women did that really go help? Be real.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand that. No, I understand that aspect too, because you also hear the stories about the pink. What do they do? The pink every October.
Right.
And most of the money, they pocket most of that money.
Absolutely.
A lot of that money doesn't go actually to breast cancer awareness. They get the females. I think it's more of a pull to get the females to buy merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw the logo on. Let's throw the team's logo on with the pink. The females are more inclined to buy that. Oh, it's got pink on it. Let me buy it. And then turn around and they're like, oh, yeah, we're talking. I think I want to say like maybe like 10% of it goes to charity. I mean, it's a business. I mean, I can't knock them. But...
Right. But at the end of the day, it's all about networking, negotiations, who we can get on our side, and things like that. Because let's be real. Like, they were talking about a few weeks ago about women in sports and things like that. And not me. I could care less. I like college women's basketball. I really don't get to the pros too much. And I love women tennis. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But all that other stuff, you can tell me that some guys, they never wanted women to be talking. And sometimes I don't like listening to the ESPN sports when women are talking because it's really not that, I don't know. They've never been, you know. So it's all a ploy to understand you got to reach a different demographic. I get it, you know. And it's about money, but come on, it's not about doing the right thing. Because if you was really concerned about really doing the right thing with domestic violence or women, battered women, you would have a whole campaign representing the NFL. Your own shit. Just your own stuff. Representing the NFL, and this is what we're doing on our behalf. You're giving that money to organizations, and maybe 15% of the proceeds get out to the people. Because when you're dealing with nonprofit organizations, you got to pay all the people that run the organization. And they get millions of dollars. And meanwhile, the person who's running the organization, their base salary is probably like $500,000.
Yep.
You know? You know, second in charge, the board member, the CFO is probably $300,000. You know, so they get money, you know? So you really want to reach back and see how much money is distributed to the people that really, really, really need it.
Yeah, but then you can make me wonder, I want to be able to get in touch with these battered women to give the money myself.
Right. Put the money, that's like winning the lotto. You know what I'm saying? Don't give me that money over 30 years. Give me all my shit right now. Give it to me right now. And let me come up and do what I need to do with it. You know? Don't give it to a shelter and allow me to go to the shelter. You know, let's just be for real. You're talking about the NFL and they're helping the women that date these men. So these women are used to, you know, Gucci bags and big houses, and you're telling me now this is where we gotta go to get help. We're moving. You taking me from a 40,000 square foot home to a shelter? Nah, I don't think that's how it goes.
I was just astounded by that number, and I was just like, wow. Over something that way, you could have said, you know, reports is inconclusive. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
We find the Patriots $100,000. We take away a fifth round draft pick. There would have been outrage or whatever the case was. You know the phrase? It would have been over. We would not be talking about it right now. The NFL overreached themselves and wanted to, you know, basically want to throw you in jail, you know, for a year, basically for, you jaywalking, or you just speeding, or you just ran a red light. That's what they wanted to do, and they overreached instead of just giving you a fine, and you move on. You may be pissed about it for a little bit, but then you move on, and we'll forget about it. And they just hit you every possible way. But also, though, friends, as we was alluding to yesterday, as far as in LeBron, and you know, the more and more stories that you hear out come out, it makes you wonder. You're just like, whoa. You hear stories today that like the team didn't want to trade away. You know, the team didn't want to give away a player like Kendrick Perkins. Also, you have an aspect of the team didn't want to. Also, you have LeBron, like we were talking about yesterday, LeBron actually going out and working out and with Dwayne Wade. So you just like, and then you just hear like there's just like definitely a lot of rumbling. And also, LeBron put out a retweet today that says, "Can't replace being around great friends that replicate the same energy back to you in all facets of life." I mean, he was around Dwayne Wade. Is that a shock to his current teammates?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, but definitely, this was spraying some bleach and I had to run outside. So back to this is what I want to ask you a question on. Joe Flacco, and now you hear what's going on with the NFL, and it's spreading money like wildfire because the cap is changing. How much do you think that's going to affect football? Because, I mean, not this year, but we're talking about next year. And with the CBA after next year, they're giving Joe Flacco $40 million. And he's not a $40 million guy. They're cutting him a check for $40 million. And we were texting the other day when the Sam Bradford deal went on. If this dude's record dictates that, give me $5 million. I guarantee you I can produce the same results.
No, definitely. Joe Flacco, I mean, you look at the deal, I want to say he had that great start, I want to say a couple of years ago when he brought them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he got paid. And
right.
Boom! He had them. You know, he had them by the balls. He was like, you know what? y'all gotta pay me. And what it is, friends, that we've just been talking about, friends, that there's no quarterbacks out there. There's none. So teams have their hands are tied, friends. They can't say, oh, no, we can't pay you, because then who they're going to have next?
Right.
Who are you going to pay next? But fail to a Tito, it doesn't mean pay this crappy quarterback who hasn't done anything because we need to lose to Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford has made $114 million, and it's all up to potential. He has done a damn thing in his league. It comes to a point where it's like, yo, he's just not any good anymore.
Right.
How much better is he than Mark Sanchez that you have?
And you know what the crazy thing about it is? These college kids are eating it up. Because if somebody's entering college right now, the life expectancy of a football player is almost only like 6-7 years, except the elite. If somebody is a freshman in college right now, playing in NCAA football, and they start lighting it up, a person like Nick Foles, they will get rid of him to bring another guy in. How young Nick Foles is, if you understand what I'm saying. You got to select a few quarterbacks, and the hunt is so rich for these positions that you're talking about 27. They're willing to get rid of you to try something fresher and newer, fast, especially if you ain't producing.
Well, it depends though. Like, but if you are producing to a degree, you will get paid.
Right. No. What I'm saying is because the talent level is so weak. That's why they're paying these guys.
Yep.
It's not like they're doing anything. They're paying them for this weak talent that they got.
Exactly. And if we will accept this talent, we'll accept this talent because we don't want something that's lesser. We don't know what else is out there. And that's why you look at somebody like Kirk Cousins. He's seen that $19 million, and he ran to the, you know, Washington's facility and said, oh, yeah, I'll sign this right now. He went and signed that franchise tag. You come with a fourth-round draft pick, and you give a $19 million right now? Okay, yep, I'm signing it. You look at it, Kirk Cousins, he was like, really, this kind of quarterback is getting franchised? What has happened? And that's the new NFL right now. That is the NFL right now, is that these mediocre type of quarterbacks are going to get paid $14 million, $16 million, $18 million. And you're just like, wow. You're just like, wow. Because, this is, you know, it's scarce. It's basically, there's not much that is a quality as far as in a quarterback that's really out there that you can look at and say, okay, I'll pay him. It's really scarce out there. And the talent crop that's coming in hasn't been great.
So, Rick, say that again.
You know, I'm saying the talent crop that's coming in, that has been coming in, that is in college right now, isn't great.
So, you know,
they are forcing them to pay players, you know, mediocre, average guys, like they're elite. Because of, I mean, you don't have that. If you have an okay quarterback, you don't want to lose that okay quarterback because you don't want to get a bad quarterback.
Yeah, so, but see, that's what we were talking about maybe a few months ago, Rick, about college and seeing the way they're running their offense. And seeing the way quarterbacks are moving and running around and passing in the pocket later, and is that what kind of NFL league we're going to have?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important. It's almost like even basketball now, and you have them, and we've been saying it for years, you having 7-footers, even down at the park,
wanting to run point and a rec league, and that's what we have in the league. We got everybody wanting to shoot three.
Yep. You know, and now we have an array of quarterbacks that all want to be mobile.
Everybody want to be mobile.
Everybody want to run out the pocket, run around, get some yards, and do all of that. But the difference is,
it's easier when one day you wake up and you're playing Akron State,
yep,
or Wichita, you know, or Wichita University, you know, opposed to when you're playing the top of the best week after week. You know, that goes all out the door. And now look at what Cam, all the mobility Cam has. He could not get away from that pass rush that the Denver Broncos was putting on him.
Nope.
You know? You know?
It's a different animal. Because it's a different animal when you have to play, you know, every single week you have to go against, you know, the likes of NFL talent. You're talking about the best of the best. You're talking about guys. I mean, we were just talking about it earlier. I mean, last week we were talking about the 40-yard dash. That's nothing to sniff at. You know, these 40-yard dash, we look at it, you're talking about these human beings. You're talking about 40 yards, you're talking about 40 yards, and they're running me, and you're talking about 300 pounds, 250 pounders running in at four, you know, under 5 seconds. And you're looking at it, and this is the best of the best. And when you're in college, you know, that dude could be going, he could be an engineer. He's going to be an engineer in a year. He's going to be a teacher somewhere. He's going to be a coach. You know, maybe somewhere. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. They're not playing against guys that this is their livelihood. Who are the best?
Right. And
that's a problem as far as a lot of players that come back and they come in, the systems that they usually have, they come in and they struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole aspect is why you look at players now, you're just like, Kirk Cousins got how much? Sam Bradford got how much? And now you're at a team like Buffalo. They Tyrod Taylor had an okay season his first year starting. He's a free agent. So now he's going to be wanting to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
Off of Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, see, that's going to be, I mean, sometimes, you know, you look at it as like, this is some of the best of the best. But the reason why we look at it different is because we're spoiled. You know, we're holding on to and if you go back years ago when Tom Brady first came in, they didn't want to release nothing to this guy because we were stuck on John Elway. You know, we was just getting over not too long ago Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You know, you still remember Dean
Marino.
When
he tried to mix Tony Romo.
I said Troy. Same thing. he's better than Troy, but without the ring. So of course he's not better than him.
Oh!
But,
oh! I would see that one of those guys. I would say, you think Tony's better? Oh!
Oh, absolutely. You put Tony around that talent. Come on. You put Tony with an offensive line and see what he did the year before last. That offensive line, and then you talk about DeMarco Murray, throw Emmitt Smith in there.
Yeah.
And not taking nothing away from Troy, it's just that they had a nucleus of a team. You know, that's what you had a team. Same with Tom Brady. Tom Brady he's a great quarterback, but he's a superb quarterback with a wide receiver. This is be for real. The numbers he put up with Randy Moss in there, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you have a team, it just helps everything. But what I'm saying is that's what we were under when we were younger and people were older than us, and they were like, oh, there, Tom Brady, he's okay, but, you know, he'll never be like John Elway, arm of his. And I think we're just under a different time where they're just trying to do something different. It doesn't mean that this is going to peel out to be like they're going to be better than these guys. It's just a different era we're in. Football is going to be more. They're going to want to move more mobile. Look at the amount of people retiring at this age. 29 years old and they're calling to quit. 30 years old, I'm done. Trading running backs at 32, 30 years old, talking about, oh, he's old. Are you serious?
No, and also those two phrases, you're looking at the aspect of your average, player is more educated now.
Right. And they're making a shitload of more across the board.
That too. They're more educated and they're making more money. Hopefully they have other endeavors or they invested it correctly or they didn't spend it.
Well, you got some of them that they don't think is smart. That means to cut you off. Marshawn Lynch went on record and said, I haven't spent one dime of my salary money.
Yeah.
So he has. If he's sitting on $50 million, you're good.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Marshawn Lynch, he's good. Hopefully he plays are smart like that. That are sitting on their money. Because, looking back in the day, I've heard stories of just players in, that era, the 50s, 60s, 70s, work, and then they'll be doing regular jobs in the off season.
right. Go imagine that. So, it is crazy because when you look at the scope of it, I probably would have took baseball more serious if I would have paid attention to what was going on now. Shoot, I'm 44 right now. I could be just ending my last year. I could be in my last year DHing it for the last 6 years. I mean, let's be for real. They're talking about in baseball, and then I mean to jump real quick, but we're talking about salary. And now they're talking about the couple of young pitchers that's up for a new contract is going to be looking at almost $500,000 contract. $400 and something million dollars
mm-hmm.
contract. Like, are you serious? Like, what are you going to do? If you mess that money up, for real, you can't even mess that up, can you? Give me $400 million.
Yeah.
Just to pitch. And the pitcher pitches not every 5 days, like every 5 games. Sometimes mm-hmm. you might pitch out of 162 games, you might pitch 30. You might have a record, 21-9?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then somebody said, but they play more games. It's still 12 months. It's a 12-month calendar, right? I don't care how many games you play. That's a lot of damn money.
$30 million.
Right.
You're playing, but you're talking about $30 million for a pitcher who pitches every 5 games.
Right.
Come on.
Right. That's totally different, And it's even I don't even care if it's an outfielder. Especially in the outfielder, you probably catch on an average. Sometimes you gotta work, but on the average, you probably catch like maybe 5 balls a game, or the ball's hit to you 5 times a game.
Uh-huh.
Average, $20 million, I'll take it all day. Batting average, come on, yeah. If you're batting a 30%, which let's just say 35, if you're batting 350, that means out of every 10 times you get up to bat, you only hit 3.5 times.
Yeah, that's exactly.
$25 million. $25 million.
Yeah. And those times, if you bang it out 30, 35 homers,
right.
you're gonna get paid. You're definitely going to get paid. And, the disparity as far as in sports, it seems though that, every sport, the salary is going up. You just look at just mediocre players now and even in the NBA, bench type of or 3-and-D type of players, these players are getting paid $17 million now. And you're just what? that contract that was, oh, he was getting $8-9 million. Now you add $10 million to that, and that's what he's getting paid now. And it's like,
right.
Whoa. And you look at the contracts of you know, these older players. I see why they probably better.
Yeah, that's why they hate it. That's why Oscar Robertson's pissed. That's why they don't want to get. That's why, you know, they, Kurt Schilling has an attitude. I mean, not to say that he didn't make money, but he's not making this money.
Yeah, that's the thing. He ain't making this kind of money.
This kind of money is sick. And these kids is making, what is it? These kids 23, 24. And they want to wrap them up right now.
Yeah, that's exactly like, yes. Yes, these young kids, like right now is just a beautiful time to be in sports because, you know, revenue's rising, so that means everyone's getting paid more, and just for mediocre talent, you're going to get paid.
Right.
You're going to get paid. And everybody looks at the aspect of, he's not as good as this player. I don't care. It's all about the mighty dollar, and everybody, and I'm getting paid back. So it's definitely a different dynamic as far as in sports with the way that, you know, the cap is rising in the NFL and the NBA. And just there's always just been no salary cap in baseball.
So can we move on to the basketball where we let off yesterday a little bit? OKC lost another one. Having a lead going into the fourth quarter, just can't close it out, man. Lost to the Clippers yesterday. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, no, Prince, it was an aspect of, you know, it being, because it was one of those late night games, so it got to a point where I'm like, it was halftime. They were up like 20.
You're right.
I was, all right. You know what?
They're gonna rock them to sleep.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to bed. You know what? I'm going to bed. this is boring. I'm going to bed. It's gonna be over. I'm not gonna stay up to watch this. And then I wake up and I see the Clippers came back and won without Blake Griffin. I'm just like, wow. Are you serious?
Yeah, but we can't even really say without Blake Griffin anymore because they've been really winning a lot without Blake Griffin.
Definitely. So I'm just looking at it. No, I'm just saying that it's just more of a shot at them. Like, wow, you know, they're missing one of their starters.
Right, with a man
down.
Yeah, right.
Blowing them out. And you let this team come back and win. It was just like, wow, really? And this is a team that everyone keeps telling me, oh, the Clippers, I mean, the Thunder have the best chance to beat Golden State. And he's just like, okay, so we just picking anybody out the hat? Is the best chance to beat them a 5% chance? Like, okay, then, you know, I just don't see it happening. If they're blowing leads to, you know, the Clippers, 20-point leads. So I look at that, I seen that, and I was just like, wow, what happened?
Yeah, you know, a couple of plays. Kevin Durant, last couple of games, has made a couple of bad plays. And then again, they're down some coaches. They're down some support guys. But, you know, this is what Golden State did, too. They took out the excuse tab. We don't want to hear, you know, your coach is not there. We don't want to hear. They're winning. They were winning without their head coach. You had Luke Walton coaching them, and they went 26-0.
Yeah, somewhere around.
I mean, yeah. So it's like they're taking out the excuse tab, almost like what the Patriots did in football. You know, you're suffering an injury. So what? Go out there and win. Oh yeah, you know, we already talked about the, you know, the coach and the wife. You know, so definitely condolences go out for them, but. You know, Denny Down Mo Cheeks is not. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things. Oh, they're the cotton of the other team. Come on, when you have a will to win, you know, sometimes I look at Kevin Durant, and you need to be more like Westbrook. Westbrook is a beast, you know. And I guess, they are two different players. But at one point, in fact, the leader on the team who was going to take that position have to have that identity, and they have to spill over to the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we need to win no matter what, you know. That will to win, and they don't have that leadership.
No, exactly. And you wonder. Look at also too though that when people say that their best chances of beating Golden State, you're talking about the defending champions. And granted, yes, you have veteran players, but you forgetting that this is Billy Donovan is their head coach. You're talking about a college guy. You're talking about a college guy that's making his first year in the NBA. He just said he's a rookie head coach. And you're talking about playoff basketball. Playoff basketball is a different animal. You know, Chris, it's a different animal than regular season. And he's still going through it as far as in his learning. He's going through it. But this is different. It's a different animal when it comes to, college to NBA, but then the NBA playoff is a different animal.
Right.
Can he make that adjustment as far as him to be a championship level right now? I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. It really is tough. On top of, where you had Eric Spoelstra made it through, and I think that's more because Pat Riley was running the show. But
yeah.
You can see from Black from Cleveland, you got different. You can do that in college, but in NBA, you got too many different attitudes, and you got to be able to manage them. Like when you go back and say Phil, the people say I don't know if Phil was a good coach, but he was a great manager of characters, and that's what allows them to win a lot of games. And when you look at the NBA, to be able to deal with some of them niggas, yo. Excuse my French. White and Black, when they start acting the way they act. You get what I'm saying? But once
mm-hmm.
you get on the court, you got to be able to handle those dudes and get the best out of them so you can win championships.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I'm making a thing like, I ain't trying to think, but you see what's happening in Boston. You see what's happening in Boston. I definitely give the players, a lot of credit. They are definitely doing their thing. But you look at someone like a Brad Stevens, he has proven how much of a great coach that he is. I mean, he took a Butler team 2 years in a row to the, championship game. He's talking about Butler. Butler's not getting the McDonald All-Americans, of the world. So he took that team, and now you see him taking a bunch of like misfits that are in Boston, and they have the third record in the Eastern Conference, the 12 game winning streak. So you look at him and you say, that's coaching. And even now you look at it, he's in his third year. So I just think that Billy Donovan, of course, he knew he was walking himself into, but I just think that. It's a different, like I said, for different when it comes to the, it comes to the NBA, you're dealing with grown men and not college kids who you kind of can have control over. And also, too, though, is the rotations that get small in the playoffs.
Right.
Also, you have
right.
the situations you got to handle differently. And I'm
right.
not sure, if he's, ready for that, something like that. And granted, yes, he has people on his staff. You know what?
Golden State is just killing a lot of stuff right now because I had to go back and look at the East. And when I see Boston sitting there at third, they're just so much under the radar because it's a lot of hype with other teams.
Yeah.
But, for him to take that organization and be where they are now, spectacular.
You look at it, you're just like, wait a second. You look at it for you're just like, wait a second. It's like, they are what? And, but also, too, though, they, I mean, they blew out of OKC. I mean, they blew out of Portland team yesterday. But, and this is the aspect of what I mean, like, you don't got to tell people as far as in the regular season. The regular season, to me, is not, I can't really judge the regular season because you don't know the aspect of how wins and losses happen and things like that. You may look at it for it and say, oh, yeah, Boston beat Portland. And, you know, they were one of the hottest teams in the, you know, basketball. But you're not going to look at it. Portland, this was their fourth game in their fifth night.
Right.
So you're not going to look at that. You're going to be like, oh, Boston blew them out. But you got to, you know, there's other factors into it. You know, their fourth game in their fifth night. If you're playing a playoff series, you're not going to play for it. If you're playing four games in 5 nights, the other team is going to be playing four games in 5 nights.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. So you see it. You see what happened with Portland. They battled. They even got, you know, a double-digit lead in the first half, and then when it came to the second lap, their leg said, you know what? F it, I'm out. I'm ready to go home. That's what happened.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people so many times. They get carried all the way and all that hype and stuff. Oh, you see them blow them out? But anybody can get geared up, you know, for one game when you're coming in, especially after, you know, and everybody get up to play the best team. So we're getting off the plane on a back-to-back, tired as heck, three different zone time changes. We was just, it was 8 o'clock when we left, and we lost 3 hours. So we're not really up for all of that. And people get all caught up in that. Seven-game series, like I tell people, so different.
Yeah,
that's what I look at when I see them play. And you know me. You know how we get down. It's been plenty of times. We predicted that. I told people that Golden State or San Antonio Spurs the last 2 years, it don't matter what went on. In any seven-game series, I don't see anybody in the East beating them West for seven games.
Yeah, you're talking about four games out of seven.
Right.
Four games out of seven. It's like, I just don't see it happening. It's like we have another hater. Like, what is up with all these, you know, old ass men just hating on Steph Curry?
Now you have
Clyde Frazier. Oh, I don't think that, you know, because the NBA, you know, the NBA added the. You know, back in the day, they didn't have a 3-point line. So it's, I don't think he'll be as effective as it was a 3-point line. And it's like, what did Steph do to? Did he take your daughter or something?
Right.
Did he take your daughter behind the bleachers or something? Like, what is up? What did he do to all these guys? Because they're just hated. This is like everybody's taking it one shot. Everybody just taking a shot after shot after shot on it. It just blows my mind right now. It makes completely no sense to me.
Well, this is what happens when the media, you know, they kind of do what they do, which is kind of innocent but kind of stirs it up. It's when they say, are we looking at the greatest shooter of all time?
Yeah.
And because he's having a spectacular year, and his career is not even close to being over. His career, this is one of his best seasons besides last year, and he's definitely crushing this season compared to last year. So that's what they're basing on. So when you get somebody like Walt and Oscar who plays 14 spectacular seasons at a high level, that's who gets offended, and they're taking it out on Steph.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you can't take nothing away from them, and that's what they're doing. You know, they're letting these questions dictate what they're taking away from them, and if this was nothing big that he's doing, why you guys didn't do it? From 28 feet, he's shooting like 60%.
The thing about this is, I'm just looking at it, okay? You know, they say, we didn't have a chance, the opportunity to shoot 3-pointers. I mean, whatever. And they say, and I keep saying this one season. I mean, friends, if you look at the most 3-pointers made in the season, I would say that he has 3 out of the 5.
Right.
He has 3 out of the 5. So if you, I mean, I'm just confused at that, because if you want to talk about that, I mean, he's been doing it, and you know, you have, you know, Frazier saying, oh, I don't know if he'll continue at this rate, and you're just like, wow, really? Really?
Yeah, that's at that point, to me, that's hating. I mean, it's tough to do it how he's doing it this year, but come on, just enjoy it. Just
yes.
Shut up and enjoy it, because it's like never going to be seen.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't we just sit here and appreciate, all of us sit here and back, and let's appreciate greatness? If you've got a problem with it, how about you just say, let's calm down on the talks as far as him being greatest of all time or greatest shooter of all time. Let's see and let's revisit it when his career is over. Something simple like that. How about something to that effect? Why does it got to be let's all get on Curry and let's just like dismiss it or put it down or things like that? Because, I mean, we just can't deny it. He's phenomenal. And the things that he's doing is, you know, the top of conversations everywhere that you probably can go.
Yo, you know what? I can see if it was Reggie Miller or even Ray Allen talking, which are clearly the last two. But hands down, nobody said anything when they gave them that title.
No.
If it's not them two, shut up.
No, and that's the problem. When people talk about Reggie Miller, or when people talk about Ray Allen, I didn't hear none of these guys coming out saying anything. I just don't know, you know, what it is.
That's why I agree with you. I don't know, you know, if Will's daughter was hanging around. I don't know. He could have pulled the you know, a teammate kind of thing like LeBron's teammate did to him and probably banged off his wife or something, you know?
You know, is it, you know, I mean, I'm just confused. But is it jealousy? Like, you know, you look at it and are they fearful of him saying, oh? Or is it a situation for him where it's like, hey, nobody ain't talking about me. Nobody's not talking about me. Let me get my name out there. Let me throw Oscar Robertson out there. Let me get people talking about me right now. You know, you have that.
I think it was real as innocent as media trying to get to them, because this is something that we've never seen from a shooter. Period, and see their reactions on it. And, you know, it's old grumpy men. Like I said, what goes on, like when you're with your parents and they're, oh, there ain't no music. This is music when we was listening when we was younger.
yeah, exactly. What is that crap you're playing?
Right. And the same thing would happen when we, and the same thing what happens when we tell our kids, oh, that ain't no music. That ain't no, they don't got no lyrics.
No, definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely can see it. You can definitely see it. And I mean, I understand the ethics, but also, kudos to you as a, you know, as a student of the game, or as a fan or everything as far as in the game, you can't just sit here and just say you're not marveled at the things that he's doing. You can't. You look at him, and right now, for, I mean, look at them. They were out currying Iguodala against a Hawks who's what, 5th in the East, and they beat them. Now you look at it, it's like, wow. There's what, 20 something games left, and
right.
The way that they're playing right now, if they have OKC tonight. The way that they're playing right now, you just wonder. You're just like, well, can they lose? No, they have OKC, but the way that they're ripping off wins, it's like that Bulls record is definitely in sight. And I don't think that they look to rest their players. I don't think that Kerr wants to rest them or anything.
Right. You know what? I don't think he wants to rest them, but come on, he played like 30, like 20-something games where he didn't even play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So that's almost like resting them, they said.
True. No, definitely. I mean, yeah. So that's another, I mean, them, but just, hey, run them off the court in three quarters, and then y'all get your rest every, you know, when you in the fourth quarter, you'll get your rest.
Let's be for real. Just play execute basketball, and you can rest.
I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but you know, for example, I mean, I don't know if you had heard me earlier. I had alluded to the situation as far as in Cleveland. You hear reports that Kendrick Perkins was on the Cavs last year, and a lot of his former teammates were mad that they didn't sign him back. You know, players were pissed off that the management didn't sign him back. And then also, you hear LeBron, you know, kind of talk about he sent a shot to Dwayne Wade. I mean, not Dwayne Wade, to his teammates now, because he wants to go train with Dwayne Wade, and he was just basically saying, you'd like to be around positive energy and, you know, things like that. So I was like, whoa, was that a shot to, you know, the likes of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and them players? Because that's what kind of was ready. You know, I kind of got through the tweet.
Yeah, what's going on, too? You have LeBron. We didn't get to finish it. That's really kind of jealous right now that Steph is getting all this credit.
Yeah.
And,
oh, so you think he's a whore?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he does things purposely. And he's really not happy because it's like, what about me now? You know, and it, like we said, it shifted so fast. You know? It was a year ago, it was LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. 2 years ago, it was LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And now it's Steph Curry. And it doesn't look like it's going to shift back to LeBron because if they don't win it this year, that team might be done.
That team might
be broken up. I mean, come on, look at it. Look at the disarray they're in. They have the third best record in the league. They fired their head coach. Players are unhappy. Best record in the East, the third best record in the NBA, and it's like crazy. And they seem like the way people talk about them, it's like the most dysfunctional team.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part.
Yeah. It's because the expectations, and I'm telling you, LeBron, he's not just a coach killer. I'm telling you, he's a player killer. Kyrie Irving is not the same. Chris Bosh numbers is not the same since they got together before Chris Bosh was king of Toronto.
True.
You know, Dwayne Wade is Dwayne Wade. But see, Dwayne Wade, he didn't care because he already had a ring. You come in here to get something already earned without you. You know? I got one without you, dude. So it's not like that's benefiting me. And again, like I said, it's certain players that don't want to be second fiddle. Because that's how you're going to do. They're going to finish under you, you know. They don't want that. Just like Kobe Bryant did not want that. And they give him, oh, him and Shaq could have won 5-6 titles. Yeah, but you wouldn't be giving him, you wouldn't be sending him off like you're sending him off right now. No way.
Yo, definitely. I mean, definitely. And, you know, we have a whole slate of, you know, you have games, you have OKC playing, you have the Spurs, and Pelicans playing, so we definitely, you know, free agency and NFL is coming up next week, so we definitely got y'all covered on Sunday. Definitely got a lot to talk about. We'll definitely see you guys Sunday night. Thank y'all for tuning in to Real Sports Show, and we out.
Which battle are you looking forward to most? sure everybody's excited to see what Daylight's going
to
do.
To the Batmobile.
Yeah.
I was running through what? With my wallet.
Me, you know how that shit goes. I mean,
real heavy with the homie Daylight.
You know how that shit goes. This ain't right for you. I know. This ain't hype for you. You say that I don't write my own raps, boy. See, this ain't right for you. This ain't right for you. Face in a box. This ain't Skype for you. OVO. This ain't like the crew. This is life for you. I'll just get life for you.
Hold up. Light wind. It's all in the breeze. They ask how many tricks do the nigga got up his sleeve. They thinking that I failed and the nigga got up with ease. With a big old bug like a nigga got up with bees. What's the deal, Drake? Chill, Drake. Why you worried about a meal,